Steve Villanueva for News Talk 850 WFTL.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
That lucky streak came to an end on Sunday with some pretty severe storms hitting the Northeast. And as a result, you saw over 150 flights canceled, more than 5,000 flights delayed across the country.
That was the cheap flights guy as of yesterday. And now we're hearing more of more flight cancellations today. It's a busy travel day. It's not our fault. This fog you see in South Florida, that's not the cause of this stuff. If you're delayed or you're waiting for somebody to get in to an airport this morning, it's bad weather in other states. So what's the latest with that? And also, what if you have a football player who's like unconscious and non-responsive on a plane? Can you just put the seatbelt on him yourself? There's only one guy to ask about this.
Now boarding.
It's Flight 850 with aviation expert Jay Ratliff on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are clear for takeoff.
Jay, first of all, we missed you. Secondly, I think we can officially say this for the first time. Happy holidays. I hope Thanksgiving was awesome. Great to talk to you. And basically, how are we doing this morning? Are things getting better as far as flight delays and cancellations?
Better is the operative word. Yes, we are. In fact, last week being the Super Bowl week for the airlines, with Wednesday being the second busiest travel day of the year, and of course the Sunday after Thanksgiving being the busiest travel day of the year, good. Two days in that 7 days where you had more people flying. So you have more this week than we've had before. And we were rolling. I mean, the TSA was doing their job well.
Yeah.
We had airlines doing their job well. We had the airports were making sure that everything operationally was in good shape until that weather hit yesterday, and we were toast. I mean, we had more than 5,000 flights that were either delayed or canceled. And the ripple effect, unfortunately, affected flights from coast to coast, meaning a lot of people that were flying home or to wherever they were going yesterday won't reach their destination, unfortunately, until sometime today.
I couldn't believe it. Last night, so we're sending our daughter back up to New York. She has a JetBlue to, LaGuardia flight. We're at PBIA last night, a 6 p.m. flight. We're there a couple hours before that. Empty. Nothing. It was a ghost town at PBIA. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We lucked out.
Well, there were different times when you had more people that were flying, and as a result, normally on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, it's so busy that it's a spillover effect until the next day where people that can't find flights in advance have to make reservations to come back on Monday. But, the saddest thing about all of this was, when you had flights that were canceled due to weather, the airlines aren't going to give us anything. There's
right.
no overnight accommodations. There's no food. It's an act of God, something that's outside the control of the airlines. And there's no way under God's green earth they're going to give us anything out of the goodness of their heart. And as a result, people were stranded at airports and, desperately trying to get home. And that created problems for people that had to get back to work this morning.
Yeah, it's a tough deal for sure. But you're right. Before that, and that's a good point to make, we were rolling. There were like no reports of anything from pre-Thanksgiving through the holidays. So until we hit Sunday, everything was cool.
Well, the airlines understood that the government, the administration, was looking at them, and they had been forewarned. Look, you really dropped the ball during the summer. You tried to operate more flights than you had the employees to pull it off, and this week we're really going to be looking. And they knew that if they dropped the ball operationally, that the Federal Aviation Administration, as well as the Department of Transportation, could come down with some fees, fines, or changes in how they handle customers. And I can tell you from the airline management side, the last thing you want is any meddling whatsoever from any government agency. You want to be able to do what you need to do. And, the FAA is there for safety, and I'm glad they're there, even though sometimes I'm scratching my head at some of the decisions and comments they make. But, I'm glad that they're there. But other than that, I don't want airlines being told what meals to serve, what cities
right.
to serve, how much to charge. All of those things were dropped after the Deregulation Act of 1978. And there have been times when various government administrations here in the U.S. have threatened the airlines. Look, we'll put you back under those days if you don't get your act together. And again, this week, today we've got good weather, minimal delays in New York and Seattle. This is the weather I wish we had yesterday, because then we would have been able to get everybody to where they were headed.
Absolutely. Well, some people in Miami, they eventually got to where they were headed. but the whole plane had to be deplaned. And actually, Jay, believe it or not, this story broke from, we call him a Slater scoop. Andy Slater is a guy that works in our sports station, 640 Fox Sports. He was the one that got the story. And here you have Odell Beckham, a football player, and I don't think this is going to derail his career at all, believe me, non-responsive in a seat. The flight attendants say they couldn't even wake him up to put on a seatbelt. His team has a completely different story, but when you see the video, and I know you have, there he is walking through the gate area amongst and through, like, the Red Sea, all of the people that, whose lives he's disrupted, and they're all looking at him like it's like the walk of shame. Our question is, even if a passenger is unresponsive, can a flight attendant, can a flight crew, like, physically put the seatbelt on him even if they're not responsive? Can they do it themselves, or would they want to?
Well, they could, but here's the thing. If they're worried there might be a medical condition that's ongoing right at this point, the last thing you want to do is let that plane leave. Because if it's a medical situation something you fear, it's going to get worse. And if it gets worse at 35,000 feet, well, now it's going to take you 17, 18 minutes to land the airplane. If every second counts in a medical emergency, why in the world would you let somebody that you had even the slightest inkling there could be something wrong on board that flight? There's been a number of times that if we observe someone in the gate area, at the ticket counter, even going through security, that appears to have some sort of a problem. Now, it could be anything. It could be an emotional problem. It could be something from an illness. It could be something from erratic behavior. You know, whatever it might happen to be. There's been times I've had to pull people off to the side and quietly say, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to let you on this flight. And we'll work with you. We'll take care of you. Don't worry, we'll get you on another departure. But in the state that you are in now, and you never can say people are drunk or anything, you can just say, based on the behavior that you're exhibiting, right now, it's just, we're making the call, and airlines can do that without free of any legal repercussions at all. Now, if somebody comes up and says, hey, you know, you're wearing a University of Miami shirt, I'm not letting you on the plane, you know, that's going to open up some worms. But when you're talking about having a situation where it's a medical situation, flight crews are very well trained, and they know exactly what to do. And when you have an individual that refuses to leave the flight, that's fine. The protocol says we'll get every other passenger off. Then we'll bring in the either the medical and or security teams to assist you in leaving the aircraft. And that's exactly and unfortunately what they had to do.
You know what my takeaway is from this, Jay, hearing you explain that? We should all be way more aware that your physical and mental state is being judged when you walk up to that counter. Or if you're walking anywhere through an airport.
It should be. I would love to say it always is. It's not. But I will tell you this. If you're flying and you notice something that appears to be out of character, then by all means, quietly pull one of the gate agents off to the side and say, look, I noticed this behavior. It may not mean anything, but I know that's the kind of stuff you guys look out for, and we don't want a problem at 35,000 feet that's going to cause a diverted flight. They're going to look into it. It may very well be the case. It's the same thing as when you're flying, if you see unattended bags somewhere in the airport, bring that up to the attention of someone, anybody,
right.
Because that's a big-time no-no that we need to know. And I'm seeing more and more people do that now than ever before. And some people say, Jake, come on, I should be just minding my own business. No. Do you want to be diverted to Raleigh-Durham? No. Then, you know, bring it up to the attention of somebody there, because you could be saving somebody's life. Because if there is a medical situation and they can't receive medical treatment soon enough, it could result in them passing away.
Maybe that's what happened in Miami. Hey, Odell Beckham's on that seat. I don't think he looks too right. And he's going to sign with the Cowboys, and I hate them. So can you do something about him?
Or somebody on standby saying, man, I really want that seat bad in first class. Right, exactly.
You would think about that one, right? Mm-hmm. All right, no, this is a little bit different, but it was a breaking news story last night. Do you have any more insight? Because we cannot figure out how that would happen with this Montgomery County, Maryland flight with this small plane. Literally crashed into the power lines, which I think is probably, what, about 100 feet off the air? Is that because there's an airfield right nearby?
It is. Well, I mean, they've got those obstacles everywhere. You just happen to have airports nearby, and most of the time they're marked accordingly. They've got the little, you know, the orange balls on them, so to speak, so that they can be looked at, and they can be advised as well. And a lot of times when you have pilots are flying into unfamiliar airports, and they've got a lot of different things that they're monitoring that's going on, it's easy to get distracted. And unfortunately, just a momentary distraction can lead to something that ends up being a crash. And, you know, from a general aviation standpoint, I mean, we have situations every week, unfortunately, that happen at various airports around the country. From a commercial aviation standpoint, I mean, I'm thrilled that, you know, we have to go back to, you know, 2009 from the last time we've had a commercial accident that has resulted in the loss of an aircraft. So, you know, it's all about safety, and the National Transportation Safety Board is going to investigate. They're going to see what happened. They're going to see the contributing factors, and then they're going to make recommendations to try to make some suggestions on maybe some changes in protocol or other types of procedures that can reduce the likelihood of anything like that happening again. Of course, they're always looking at the pilot to see if there was any medical impairment, that maybe a stroke or something like that that might have taken place, or if they were, you know, under the influence of anything, prescription drugs or alcohol or anything else that might have contributed. And it's a very thorough investigation, and the NTSB will do their normal, thorough, outstanding job.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. It's an unbelievable video. Wow.
Yeah. It's, you know, now with everybody carrying phones around with videos, we see a lot more. And I can tell you that when there are accidents, one of the first things that the Federal Aviation does with the National Transportation Safety Board is asking anyone that has video of the aircraft before, during, or after, by all means, to make that video available to the investigators, because these airplanes don't have black boxes. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the video, you're listening to the engine pitch, you're trying to see if there's different movements that might suggest this or that happening. And I can tell you, it's a lot like when we had the tragedy at the Dallas Air Show. First announcement that was made was there was an announcement. Second was, if you have any video that can contribute to the investigation, please make that available to investigators, because that type of stuff can really help the team as they're trying to, you know, determine the sequence of events.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll collect a whole week's worth of airline stories to talk about, I am sure, as we get really into the holiday season by the time we talk next week. So we've only just begun, sir.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 weeks, I can promise you.
You got that right. For all the Flight 850 information, right there in the Morning Show blog, 850WFTL.com, or on the 850 mobile app. But for day trade fun, hook up with Jay there, too. You making money already?
Watching a couple stocks that we know not to buy yet. So, yes, we have several on the old radar at this point.
Beautiful. We'll talk to you in a week, sir. Happy Thanksgiving, belated, and happy holidays.
To you as well. Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Hey, what's going on in China is nuts. Unbelievable protests, and it's not being reported nearly enough. I mean, the mainstream outlets finally have to talk about it. It should be even bigger, though. It's incredible.
And I think this means something really big. I was thinking about this earlier for the rest of the world, too.
I think, I hope so.
I think so.
They should take a message away from this anyway, right? We've got that, and we got a lady suing Velveeta Cheese Company.
Jeez, you can't make these people up. I wish we did. I wish someone like this wasn't real, but it's real.
And she's from Florida.
Yeah, well, you know what
you
that means.
Just knew it was coming. That and more coming up next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here.
Dan Bongino.
Oh, the New York Times said that the Biden tax cuts. Are you really citing to me the New York Times with a straight face? My kid's coloring book is a more rep.
Go get your credit card.
I had a credit card. I'd shop online.
Cyber Monday.
I never have to leave the house.
Shop till you drop.
It's showtime, baby.
Oh, say, if you want to believe this, they're saying it set a record already. We are what?
Already?
Yeah, before 10 a.m.
Come on.
I don't know. I think a lot of this is hype. It has to be a lot of posturing from these. Because everybody's going to say they had a successful Cyber Monday, especially, apparently Black Friday didn't go as well as anybody thought.
Yeah, I could see that. Is Jeff Bezos out there putting out these fake headlines? We're already setting records. All right, get on there quick.
We're selling out.
Come on.
Amazon's closed. they're still putting it at, here's the estimate from everybody. They're all in consensus, apparently. $11.2 billion Americans are going to spend today.
Just today.
That's what they think.
My goodness gracious.
And a massive increase over even last year. And last year was huge.
It was, yeah, because people were still, they were starting to come out of the pandemic and, you know, they were still kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to go shopping, so I'll buy everything online. So you had a kind of like a mix of stuff. And this time it's just like people are basically saying, screw it, going to buy it.
That's
I don't
what
care.
It is. I don't know what it's going to be like. And we will eventually. I don't know how many years it's going to take. We will rebound again, though, and it'll be fine. We'll get the economy strong again, though. I'm just hoping it's not most people in massive debt.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe what's going to happen. But I hope not. I hope not anyway.
Well.
But you got to live.
That's the thing, right? You know, as some people just, they say, well, we can't do it, and that happens too, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it is. It's one of those things. People are just more willing to go out there and get what they want, get things for their family.
For like sure.
That carefree attitude is more prevalent now.
It is so much easier to spend money now. It just is, and to shop in general. Amazon, we use this as the main example, as what's going to get most of the $11.2 billion today. It just works. It works so well.
I mean, and also, too, when it comes, and it's so efficient.
I know.
And when it comes to like that carefree way of thinking, a perfect example, I think, is when you go to Disney, where we're actually going in at the end of the week, or even when you're at Universal, stuff like that, and you see the amount of people there.
It's amazing.
And you think to yourself, my gosh, it is expensive to go here. And you just see it's packed, and every resort is packed, and those aren't cheap, especially this time of year.
I always look at, and it's so funny, I'll see a pack of, like, most families are four on average.
Right.
People of four in a family. Mm-hmm. I go, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000. If I'm, like, waiting for the girls or something, just sitting down in a curb, I'll go, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000.
There they go.
You just add it up, and you see by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
That's it.
Man.
So, just goes to show you, man, people are willing to spend.
That's exactly right. Different kind of a story going on in China right now. This should be a way bigger story. They're finally starting to acknowledge over here
should
our so-called free press what's happening here. I think they didn't know how to handle it, but the mass protests have begun. Yes, at universities, like this one in Beijing, totally get that. They're calling for Xi Jinping to, step down or remove him or whatever.
Man, imagine that.
That was university students. Here's just people in Shanghai, and this is what they're chanting. Give me liberty or give me death. This is an unbelievable world development, and you really hope that these lockdown protests don't result in violence where they really crack down on the citizens, because that China's done it before.
Yeah.
Tiananmen Square, it wasn't that long ago.
Well, listen, they're having clashes with police right now. It's nothing like, God forbid, where they're killing people in the street. But, you're going up against police, they throw you into a jail cell somewhere, and look, due process is not like it is here. Okay, you may never be seen again if you're out there protesting. So they are risking a lot. Trust me, these protests are not encouraged like they were in the summer of 2020, and, here in the States. So they are risking their lives. The same thing with people
in
Iran.
They literally are risking their lives.
Yes.
You're right. It's brave. You kind of worry about them, but I think that this is also a country that was willing to literally, and this is one of the causes of one of the protests finally to erupt, they were literally locking people into apartments, welding doors shut. That was still going on, and it caused a massive apartment building fire that led to the deaths of people. And that news story got out throughout the world, including China, which I think that was the final straw for people to just push back against this.
People are like, we're done. And it all actually is a big part of it started at the world's biggest iPhone factory there in China.
Wow.
And they just started saying, we can't do this anymore. They weren't getting paid enough. They had all these restrictions coming back. And they started fighting back there. And then you had the apartment fire and things just snowballed.
How about that, though? You mentioned iPhone. So that's Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they in this?
I don't know.
Where the hell were all these? And they're all like that, by the way. Every major manufacturer of American product, they all have a Chinese influence. Where were they speaking out against the lockdowns? But they couldn't, because that would have spoken out against our lockdowns in several states here.
Exactly. And that's why when I was saying before the break, why this could have an impact on the entire world.
Yeah.
Because if other world leaders look at what they're doing in China,
I hope,
and they say, whoa, this is happening in China. I don't think this is going to fly here anymore. I don't think it's going to fly in France or Spain or Germany or the United States. Maybe we shouldn't push this stuff, again at some point.
You'd hope that's the takeaway. You really do. I don't know if it is, because they already know how much they can get away with. They know that.
Yeah, we saw.
Canada got a good sense of that.
Sure did.
They can go right up to pretty much locking you in your house for, years on end.
Mm-hmm. Australia. We saw it happen.
The only thing that'll change is the citizenry of these countries, how much we're willing to put up with. I don't know.
Well, hopefully they can keep it up in China. Man.
Man, tough scene there. In the meantime, different story in the United States. We have different concerns.
Yes.
We have freedom. And the kind of time to worry about things like this. We got a Florida lady. I don't know what city, but she's a Floridope named Amanda Ramirez. She's suing the Kraft Company. You know why?
Why?
Because they're lying. She says their shells and cheese cups take too long to microwave.
Oh, my God.
Longer than it says on the instructions.
Is this woman for real?
And she went back and back and back over the past couple of months to see if it was just her. At a premium price of $10.99 for each cup pack of eight. So you know how much she's suing? She and her lawyers, they want a class action lawsuit over this.
$700.
Nope.
No.
You think she just wants her money back for the cup she bought?
That's what I'm thinking.
$5 million.
Come on, man.
$5 million.
That is a lot of mac and cheese.
Because they feel that Kraft has to pay the price for the deceptive practices.
This is a ridiculous, frivolous lawsuit. What are they thinking?
They're fighting for freedom in China. And they're risking their lives. We're right. fighting. We're fighting for quicker cups for mac and cheese over
here. This is what we're concerned with.
Oh boy! Wow. All right, we got some flight information updates coming up next. Some other headlines as well. An amazing rescue in the Gulf of Mexico to talk about next. The South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. News Talk 850 WFTL. It's the South Florida Morning Show. There's Diener on Bill. Karen's got news coming up top of the hour, as she just said, at 10 o'clock. We'll update you on all that stuff, including some travel. I guess it's better, way better than it was. By the way, this fog throughout South Florida, it's not, travel problems aren't our fault.
Yeah, don't blame us. It's not our fault for once.
We did not do it. This will not cause you any problems. It's mostly southeast was really, like around Atlanta.
Yeah.
Georgia had some tough storms. Northeast was pretty bad. Yesterday was the real bad day for flight cancellations. That's what bled into today, but should be way better as the morning goes on.
Yeah, just keep an eye out in the southeast, though, too, if you're traveling to, I mean, really, Atlanta's obviously a huge hub.
Mm.
So they're talking about some severe thunderstorms possibly over today, tomorrow, maybe into Wednesday as it kind of moves through. So just, you know, keep an eye on that stuff. But other than that, at least it's clearing up right now, right? So that's good.
It seems fine. I don't know. Like I said last night, I was shocked at 6 o'clock-ish at the airport. At PBIA, it was empty.
You guys hit the lottery there.
It must have cleared out all during the day, because that was one of the busiest travel days of the year yesterday.
Right. That's great. Worked
out. I was
out.
Prepared for, like, fighting crowds.
Sure.
It's fine.
Bringing word searches.
Yeah, exactly. But so today is Cyber Monday. We talked about that a lot. You know what tomorrow is?
No, what?
It's not Identity Theft Tuesday.
No, okay, that's good.
After all the online activity. It's Giving Tuesday. Okay, so this
really?
Is a traditional, you know, thing. It's a post-Black Friday, Cyber Monday tradition to encourage people to, you know, give to their favorite charities. There's a lot of them involved. It's usually the United Way. They do a big thing, too. This is going to be fascinating to watch, because they always come out with their numbers and how much money people have actually given. They've already told us they're expecting $11.1 billion to be spent today.
That's a lot of money.
For Cyber Monday. If there's still the same amount of money given, at least compared to last year for this Giving Tuesday tomorrow, something's up. We can't get people back into the workforce, and yet there's record amount of money being spent on, first of all, Cyber Monday, and then a charitable effort, which would be great, by the way. I'm not disparaging it.
Sure.
It'd be great if people gave back tomorrow and all the, you know, favorite charity, whatever. Because they usually come out with a number. It'll happen like midweek this week. On how much charitable contributions people made.
Well, it's a nice idea. I'm just not sure how much people are going to have left. And if there is a bunch of money spent, I want to know what I'm doing wrong.
I don't know.
If you got money for Cyber Monday and a bunch of charity.
It doesn't make any sense.
Sign me up.
Look at all the factors, okay? We've got record spending on everything. Travel, electronics, all the stuff you'll see today. Amazon's going to come out with some record number.
Oh, yeah.
It's record spending, all this other stuff. They may have a giant charitable Giving Tuesday.
I hope so.
That may happen tomorrow. You've got record inflation, and every single major employer in the country is saying they can't get people back to work. What is happening?
It's a weird formula.
Where is everyone?
Right. Something's not adding up. I don't know.
I hate to, man, I hope it's not what we're thinking, where it's just people just putting everything on credit.
It's probably
what it
is.
It may be, because it's going to be a massive debt problem, worse than we had before. I mean, I hope not. I hope people just socked money away.
I mean, or it's just a lot of people on OnlyFans. I don't know.
Everybody's got a side. I know what we're talking about with all this money being spent. It's people with, like, influencer and OnlyFans accounts and side hustles. Fine.
Just Instagram stuff, Instagram pictures. I don't know.
I hope that's the case.
Maybe. Most likely it's just a lot of credit cards.
Yeah, pretty much.
I understand how that goes.
Here's speaking of cyber stuff, 850WFTL.com and the Morning Show blog. Also on the app, which is where you can find all of our stuff as well, and most people listening on the app these days. The video of that plane, and there's an update now in Montgomery County, Maryland, the plane that got caught in the power lines. This is the chief giving an update to the media early this morning.
Both patients have been transported from the scene to local area trauma centers with serious injuries. There is a hypothermia issue as well, but there's also orthopedic and trauma injuries from the crash.
But the people are alive. You wouldn't think so if you're looking at this video on there. It's on the blog, like we said. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's absolutely incredible.
They just ran.
They got stuck like spider webs.
Man.
Into the power lines that knocked out 120,000 people for their power.
And it's just hanging there.
It's amazing.
I mean, I guess we've come to the conclusion because we've been asking all morning, well, how does this even happen? Well, I guess these power lines were close to the runway where
right.
this thing was coming in. So you obviously miscalculate the approach. Maybe your navigation went wrong. It's dark. You didn't see. Who knows? I mean, maybe something like what happened to JFK. You just lose your bearing, right? Or JFK Jr., I should say.
Yeah, it could have
and
been.
They just end up in this power line. Gosh, that is scary. Can you imagine flying in there, and then you think, okay, number one, we just crashed.
Right.
Right, so what's running through your head? And then you're thinking, oh my gosh, we're alive, but are we about to fall? And if I touch anything, am I going to get, you know, fried because this thing might be have a bunch of electricity running through it because we crashed into a power line.
Sounds like they couldn't move anyway, but I honest to God thought they were going to try to climb out of this thing. I was watching this thing live. Somebody was covering, all the networks were covering the thing, and I'm like, are they going to come out?
There was like a 4-hour live stream that went on with this crash. I'm glad they got, you know, they were rescued and they're okay. So, like you were saying, Bill, if you want to check it out, the video is online. We put it up on the blog, 850WFTL.com. You can also, if you're going around, out and about on your Cyber Monday deals, you can check it out on the app, too.
Absolutely. Check it out.
Man, it's wild.
Check all of it out. All right, we got some Christmas stuff to talk about here. I needed to ask you this, because I don't think I've asked you this yet, Diener.
Okay.
Did you watch the, I know it's a couple of days ago, did you watch the Thanksgiving Macy's Day Parade?
I did, yeah. We actually watched the whole thing.
I did, too, and I don't usually stick around for the whole thing. I usually watch, like, the last half hour, send off to Santa, and then segues right into the dog show.
That's right, yeah.
Didn't watch much of the dog show, but I watched this. I have to give her credit. I know that people are sick of it. I get. We'll just play a little. I swear. I know you just drove over the, off the road. We can't do it. But Mariah Carey, did you see her?
I did.
She has.
Yeah.
I like when celebrities will actually embrace and take ownership of something that they can't escape from anyway.
No, I'm all for that. Right. I mean,
right.
Just own it. Don't run away from it. You know, give the fans what they want, which is. They want that song, especially this time of year. They're calling her the Queen of Christmas because of that song specifically.
And it's so huge.
It just kind of startled me that when I was watching her, she was like glued to this platform.
No, she wasn't moving on. No.
It's like a Barbie doll that's like, you know, put the little plastic hole into their shoes. That's how they had her.
It was. It was like if you could put a big plastic container over her, that was a Barbie doll thing. It was a little round stage.
It was a little concerning.
She had an umbrella. But she has totally embraced, because she fought it for a long time, I think.
She fought,
I have a whole other career and all this. She's just going to be the Queen of Christmas for here on out forever and ever. She is.
It makes her a ton of money. I would do it. I'll be the Queen of Christmas. If she doesn't want to do it, I will happily be the Queen of Christmas in her place.
But I got to tell you, it's like, it was getting, obviously people are getting sick of the song, even though
it just started.
As huge as it is.
Yeah.
I get that. But she owns it, and it was kind of refreshing.
Isn't it true that she didn't even want to do it to begin with?
Didn't even want to record it.
Right?
Nope.
Can
you imagine if she didn't?
I mean, who would have done it? Or maybe it would have never been put out into the world. I don't know.
There's a strong chance she would have just faded out and gone away.
Yeah, sure.
And she's a multi-platinum selling artist, but this thing kept her going for a long. Maybe that's why she embraces it.
Without All I Want for Christmas, she would be doing 90s cruises right now. Which is nothing wrong with that. But
all right,
just
coming
saying.
Up after Vanilla Ice, it's Mariah Carey.
Just saying. I mean, if you can get it, it's good, but Macy's Day Parade and being called the Queen of Christmas might be a little bit better.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I didn't expect. I've never been a fan. I, too, was sick of the song. But somehow seeing her embrace that and actually, like, admit it.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever watch The Partridge Family? That was before your time.
No, I saw it here and there.
There came a time where Danny Bonaducci,
mm-hmm.
Danny Partridge,
yes.
fought for years is like that he had anything to do with that show till he finally accepted it.
Why not, right?
And he owned the Danny Partridge thing.
I mean,
and it became so much more refreshed. Like, stop fighting it.
He did do celebrity boxing for a little while.
Oh, remember that?
Remember that, yeah.
I think he fought Screech.
He did. R.I.P. Screech.
He beat the tar out of him.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Well, don't be like Danny Bonaducci.
No.
Just, yeah, accept your fate. It works. People like it.
I don't know. It was just weird. I didn't think I'd have that reaction to Mariah Carey, but here we are.
The parade was just okay, though, by the way.
Was it worse than other years?
Not worse, but it's just kind of flat now. Like, they had some good performances and things like that. Some good floats. The kids liked seeing, you know, like Bluey came by and things like that, and that was fun. Pokemon. But other than that, I was just kind of like, eh.
There was some, not to sound mean here, because believe me, I'm no perfect body, but there was, I think they came right after the Rockettes, which is amazing, an amazing display to see.
Yeah.
They had some hundreds of people strong marching band from like North Dakota or something.
Oh, yeah.
And we all, even my wife said at the time, we're looking at the TV, we're like, ooh. Maybe it might have looked better if it wasn't right after the Rockettes, because that was a rough transition.
Switch that one up.
Like, whoa, here they come.
Oh, boy.
All right, before I get into any more trouble, let's get out of this. I'll talk about that amazing rescue in the Gulf of Mexico that happened over the weekend. This guy, wait till you hear how long these people are holding on to dear life.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard about this, actually.
Oh, my God, will you hear that? We got some other flight update information, Cyber Monday stuff, too. It's all next, the South Florida Morning Show. Keep it here. News Talk 850 WFTL. It is the South Florida Morning Show. Welcome to Monday. Welcome back in for the holiday. If you had travels, all the good stuff, happy Cyber Monday. I hope you're not overspending. Who the heck knows?
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I'll let you know how it goes for me tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm already getting hit up with text deals on the phone and all this other stuff. That's a first this year.
See, and you guys just got the new phones, but I wonder what kind of like deals there are for new phones out there.
I think there's actually a lot.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's going to be a lot of people switching carriers and phones and all this. Yeah, because they're all trying to compete with each other now. Which, by the way, the entire process, it's been about, well, I think it was about a year and a half ago since we got our last phone. You're buying a car. That's what it is.
That's what it feels like now, right?
It's exactly what it is.
Go through all these steps, different contracts, financing, buy off the old one.
It's incredible. There are buyers and...
You could be like upside down on your phone now.
Oh, it's amazing. Negotiating offers, they leave, they talk to the manager, they come back. It's just like it.
Yeah. You start working them down.
Which is good that you can negotiate, but my God. And here's the other shocking thing you probably realize. The amount of data I've collected that was an increase over the last phone was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It took so long to transfer stuff.
That's what it is. And we don't think about it. You know, you take a video, you take a picture, and soon those add up. And you realize, oh, wow, I have 200 gigabytes of data on my phone.
Unbelievable.
Whoops.
By the way, we get to a couple of headlines here before we get to a really feel-good story. They're calling it a Thanksgiving miracle in the Gulf of Mexico. It's incredible. But a couple of things going on in the world. First of all, you're going to see more and more today, you'd hope anyway, from the protests in China over their zero lockdown policy. It's basically nationwide in China right now. All major cities, many universities protesting against the government and those policies now. You know what I think? I didn't think so at first would have had a major effect on this. There was the catastrophic apartment fire where they locked people in. I get that. It started at the iPhone factory where the workers were saying, we can't do this anymore. We can't live like this anymore. But I didn't think so this would have so much of an effect. Karen's right. Broadcasting the World Cup games, which are basically maskless, I bet you that had a massive factor for this too. For the first time ever, most people in China are finding out most of the world's over this thing.
That's true. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, for us, we don't even think about it anymore. You take a flight, you're not wearing a mask.
Right.
I mean, it's a thing of the past. You're watching the World Cup, it's in the Middle East, and you're watching, you know, crowds of 60, 70,000 people.
That's insane.
A million people there for this thing, and everyone's, you know, living life like we used to. And then you're in China, and you're watching this stuff, and you're like, wait, what? Like, what about us? And that's why... I think it was real. If I'm spreading misinformation, I apologize, but I saw a video where I guess it was a broadcast that somebody had filmed from their TV in China, and the crowd was blurred out.
Wow, is that right?
There was some type of censorship going on Chinese state television there showing the game, and they were blurring out the crowd because they didn't want them to see that people weren't wearing masks in the crowd.
It's an amazing thing to see. It really is. It took a long time, but again, they're talking about a country over there where they don't get all the information, but they're finally pushing back at great risk. It's already violent protests, but you hope they don't crack down anymore.
And that's the thing about, you know, people may not realize, or, you know, if you're, you know, a college student in the riots and protests of 2020, you know, you're not risking your life doing that. You have the freedom to do that here,
right?
They are risking their lives just by walking out there and chanting, you know, give me liberty or give me death, which is what they were doing.
Amazing.
It's pretty powerful, too. You see them, if you see the clips later on, whether it's on the news or social media, probably more likely social media, if you start to wonder, why are they holding up blank pieces of paper?
Yeah.
They're doing that because as a symbol, as to say, this is everything we want to write down and say, but we can't.
It's a protest.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, keep an eye on that one. And this is happening, too, here domestically. Guess what starts in Georgia Early voting begins today for the runoff for December 6th.
This really snuck up on us. I totally forgot about this. It's next week.
Campaigning heavy. Both sides have brought out the heavy hitters all throughout Georgia, canvassing the whole. I know Ted Cruz has been there for Herschel Walker quite a few times.
I think Ted's in a sleeping bag the past few days. He's been hanging out there for a while.
I'm just moving to Georgia. Democrats have come out in full force for Raphael Warnock, too, this to decide that last Senate seat in the runoff that was so close. Percentage points on that.
So when it comes down to it, if Walker wins, then it's a 50-50 split in the Senate. But the vice president right now, who is Kamala Harris, as of this moment in time, would have the final say on anything that is a split decision. So essentially, Democrats still have the majority in the Senate, even though it's officially a 50-50 split if Walker wins.
They'll retain the Senate either way.
Right.
But you got the Republicans have the House. But the early vote, I just can't get over. Early voting starts today.
Yeah.
That seemed months away.
And people are out there voting, too. It did, right? It seemed like, it's so far away. Now it's next week, that whole thing.
Unbelievable. We got a feel-good story that they're calling literally a Thanksgiving miracle. This is an incredible story that happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
I have not heard this. You have me intrigued on this. I've stuck around. I haven't changed the channel because I want to hear it.
I'm always amazed when things like this happen off. I get small boats, fishing boats, people that work out there, tankers, whatever. When people fall off of cruise ships... First, if you've ever been on a cruise, and that's a lot
that
of
happens.
People listening right now, I look around, like the last celebrity ship I was on, I looked at that. The plexiglass is high.
I mean, I don't know how that happens by accident.
I think you'd have to work to get over and to get into the ocean to fall off a ship. I really do. And this one was a Carnival ship, the Carnival Valor. It set sail for New Orleans on Thanksgiving Eve. A brother and sister are on there, and, they're partying. One guy steps away to use the restroom, doesn't come back, hours pass, wasn't in the stateroom, the guy's missing, he's 28 years old, vanished, right? Here's what happened next. The search is launched by air and sea, you have to at that point.
Sure.
Cruise line has to, whatever local authorities you have to contact, they do that. About 11 p.m., when her brother walked off, the sister recalled, Carnival spokesperson says that's when they started the search. At noon the next day, Thanksgiving Day, she reported him missing.
Wow.
Really? They started a search before she reported him missing.
I was going to say, why did it take her so long?
Announcements echo through the ship for the missing passenger, check in with guest services. They're looking for the guy. They started to recruit other passengers to try to look for the guy.
Jeez.
Like, if you can, look in your stateroom, other corners of the ship.
I mean, you'd think it's all over by then. I mean, there's no way.
Wow. Passengers were told the arrival time for their port call in Cozumel would be delayed, so now you have angry people.
Yeah.
The ship then turned around. Here's the update on this, and here's why it's a feel-good story. They find the guy. He's in stable condition, as of right now still, after being rescued in the Gulf after the search and rescue, after falling overboard. He could have been in the water for over 15 hours.
How is he alive?
I don't know.
Is he a Navy SEAL?
I don't know. Here's the Coast Guard. This is Lieutenant Seth Gross talking about the rescue. Listen to this.
At any point from 11 p.m. on Wednesday on, he could have entered the waterway. He realistically could have been in the water for 15 plus hours before we were able to successfully rescue him.
The longer that somebody's in the water, the greater the search area is going to be. So time was certainly of the essence.
The will to live is something that you need to account for in every search and rescue case.
First of all, with the delay and the reporting and the start of the search, it's amazing they found him.
Yeah, really? I mean, that's
a pinpoint.
Yes. I mean, needle in the haystack for real.
And how the hell is this guy alive for 15 hours? And he can't talk because he's in, maybe he is now, but at the time it was reported he couldn't talk.
Are you just treading water? I mean, he's in the middle of nowhere in the Gulf.
That's amazing to me that that's even a possibility.
It reminds me of the story. This is more extreme. It reminds me of the story. If you remember back, how long ago was this? Maybe like 12 years ago, somewhere in there, 10, 12 years ago. Remember Rob Conrad? Used to play for the Dolphins as a fullback.
He was a fullback.
Yeah, played for Syracuse. Really good fullback, even on Syracuse.
I remember this story.
And he fell overboard on one of his fishing boats, and he was out there. And he ended up swimming, 30 miles to, Deerfield Beach?
He just kept chugging.
Oh, my gosh. He just kept going.
That's unbelievable.
It reminds me of that, because people thought he was dead. And he swam back to shore. So, I mean, it reminds me of that, but this guy is in the middle of nowhere in the Gulf. That's unreal.
They need a follow-up for exactly how he did it, too, because it doesn't sound like he had anything, not a cooler. We've heard of stories like that. People
maybe
held
on
to coolers
on
at times,
yeah.
Or a floaty or water wings or something like this, but I don't know how you do it. unless he did have SEAL training or something, he was able to do the pants thing and add air to it. I don't know.
That's the only thing I can think of. Goodness gracious. I'd love to hear a follow-up, but if we find out more about this, I'm going to be digging.
No, we have to hear from this guy. I have to know how he actually
I want to know, number one, how did he fall? There's that. I mean, I'm assuming he must have been completely blitzed and just, you know, lost his balance and fell overboard. I don't know.
The medical director said he was able to identify his name, confirmed he was the guy that fell overboard. That was about it at the time, obviously, because he's like basically, you know, he's in shock. Hypothermia, shock, dehydration.
Sure. But he's going to be all right.
And shortly after that, could walk.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy's Aquaman.
He's a machine.
My God.
Well, all right. Maybe we'll have a follow-up. The first ever follow-up feel-good story.
I guess
there's more details that come out from that.
Yeah, but don't you think, too, with all the security cameras that are on board everywhere and every building now, there's no, you can't look at every single part of a ship? I guess not.
I don't know.
Wow. How about that?
That's a wild story. You're right, though. Good job, Bill. Thank you for finding that feel-good story.
Now get him on the air, Diener.
That's right.
Hey, you're all right? Can you talk now?
He'll fly out there with the microphone.
Right. All right, thanks for hanging out with us. Check out and stay close to 850WFTL.com for everything, including the morning show blog with that amazing video of the plane caught in the power lines in Maryland. With all that said, we'll talk to you tomorrow.